السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين ورحمة الله للعالمين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعه إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. الحمد لله. We're again a week past, and inshallah we'll reflect on one of the names and attributes, beautiful names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and remind myself and you about the purpose of this. The purpose of this is to get to know and to realize and to be conscious of the attributes of Allah around us. And the more we are conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attributes around us and in us, the more we are closer to Allah, the happier we are, or the more content we are. And the attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala today is Al-Kabir. Al-Kabir. Al-Kabir is a name that has to do with greatness. Greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we say the word Kabir, great, we should not allow something to our mind to come as something greater than something physical. See, when we say something greater than something, it could be great in volume or great in mass, but that should not come to our mind when we say that word, Al-Kabir. Okay? Al-Kabir in a way of Kabir, in a way of idea, in a way of thought, in a way of attribute, in a way of quality, but not in a way of volume and in a way of mass. Because we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala laysa kamithlihi shay'. There is nothing like Allah. So therefore, Allah is great in a way of the attributes that we know. See, this so far, all the talks and discussion we have about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala attribute begins and how it could be and how that we are affected by that attribute, and we have part of it. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, تخلقوا بخلق الله, have the manners of Allah. So therefore, that greatness is in these manners that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. So we as human beings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us in a fitrah. And the way we explained fitrah was the state, the pure state that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us in. The pure state that Allah created us in. And we talked about it before, about that pure state is very pleasurable. Very pleasurable state, very comfortable state to be in. And if you ask anyone, Muslims or non-Muslim, ask them what is the most pleasurable time, comfortable time in your life, and what are they going to say? Childhood. Yes, all of them. They're going to refer to that. And why? Because childhood is the time, or was the time, that your fitrah was not polluted, did not have any rust or dust on it. So it was reflecting about Allah, whether you liked it or not. It was recognizing Allah, whether you liked it or not. So therefore, that state was very pleasurable. But we don't quite know why, right? When we get older, we say the childhood was very nice time, very comfortable, very beautiful time. And as we said many times before, we start reflecting it to a hometown, right? We start reflecting, connecting it to a particular home that you used to live in, particular room that you had, and so forth. And then you look forward, going back and seeing all of that, and you go back and you find the things that you thought will bring you pleasure are there, the same, and no pleasure. Because this place has nothing to do with that. But the state of the heart that you were in had everything to do with it. Now, why are we talking about this? Because that state of the heart, of the fitrah of the heart, tend to cling and get close to that which is great. Okay? We tend to go and we want to be with greatness. This is part of our fitrah. And so far in these sessions, we're talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, last week about the rahmah of Allah, the mercy of Allah. We tend to gravitate to mercy. Right? We tend to gravitate to mercy. We tend to gravitate to love. Allah al-Wadud. But if you think about it, just in a way of thinking about our way of life on earth here, that which is has mercy, you tend to get close to, and you want to get close to. Something that has to do with love and care toward you, you want to go to and be close to and be around. Okay? Something that has power in a way of protection to you, you tend to gravitate toward. And we can, guidance. Okay, you want to be guided and you know that there is some guidance somewhere and guidance that's very comfortable, very logical, very comfortable to the heart, you tend to gravitate to it. This is what our life is about, is to recognize the greatness of Allah through His all attributes, so we'll get gravitate to Allah, and we know that we want to be close to Allah because we want to be close to the absolute mercy, because we love mercy and we want to be in it. We love guidance, we want to be in it. We love to be loved, and we want to be within this love. We want to be, we have a guidance, and we want to, we love to be guided to that, to a path that is beautiful. So we want to be we are gravitating to this. This is the purpose of all these sessions: to recognize these attributes, and to recognize that our fitrah resonates with it so much. And to recognize that we want to come close to it, to all these attributes, and we know that we are gravitating toward greatness. Okay? And the comfort being close to greatness. This is Allah al-Kabir. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran said, قل say قل لو كان معه آلهة كما يقولون إذا لبتغوا إلى ذي العرش سبيلا سبحانه وتعالى عما يقولون علوا كبيرا تسبح له ما في السماوات تسبح له السماوات السبع والأرض ومن فيهن وإن من شيء إلا يسبح بحمده ولكن لا تفقهون تسبيحهم إنه كان لطيفا عليما لطيفا خبيرا نعم جزاك الله خير لطيفا خبيرا and you knew it was إظهار but I didn't know which letter of إظهار is it is the عين or the خا See, Tajweed helped you to memorize the Quran. See, I did not make ikhfa, aliman. No, I said aliman. I knew it was idhar after it. It was a clue, alhamdulillah. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala show us, you know, the greatness here, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if there is idols or some partners with Allah as they claim, they cannot help to go to يَبْتَغُونَ إِلَى ذِي الْعَرْشِ سَبِيلًا, that they will find a way to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because all the greatness belong to Allah. So everything gravitates to Allah, and they want to go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, praises and to Allah, and He is pure from all of this. عُلُوًا كَبِيرًا عَمَّا يَقُولُونَ عُلُوًا كَبِيرًا. He's great from what they say about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Greatness and exaltation is just so much, it is kabir. Allah is the most exalted, you know, greater than anything that they say, and He is pure of anything that they say. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the seven heavens and the earth, the seven skies above us and the earth, they are yusabbihuna bihamdi. They are praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they are showing the gratitude by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِ. And everything in the creation, anything that is created and everything that is created, it is praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِحَهُمْ. But you do not understand how they make tasbih. But they are making tasbih. We as human beings, we're making tasbih to Allah as well. But not all of us. Our fitrah is making tasbih to Allah. See? Is yearning to make tasbih to Allah. And if we match our fitrah and get close to Allah according to the way He commanded us to get close to Him, according to the path that He told us to use, according to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we'll be matching our fitrah. We'll be doing the work that our fitrah resonates with. Then the comfort of this life and the hereafter starts appearing. When the physical body takes things that inhabits the body from the ability to resonate with the fitrah and with the attributes of Allah, we feel miserable. Okay. The mind, when it is altered in some ways, or the body is altered in some ways with some drugs or anything, period, it does not, that path, clear path, and this fitrah that would like to cling to the attributes of Allah, will have some difficulties to do so. And that's the meaning of some of the Salaf al-Salih, those who came before us around Rasulullah ﷺ and after him, generation after him. When one's foot needed to be amputated, what did he say? See? He knows that his fitrah is close to Allah, and this is the time, okay, when he is most comfortable and most in peace. And this is the best feeling that a human being could have. So they ask him, should we give you something before we amputate your leg so you will not feel it? In other words, alter this state that you are in that recognizes the attributes of Allah. Can you imagine that? This is how he understood it. Okay? You know, imagine someone is in the pleasure with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then his legs is going to be amputated. So somebody comes to him and says, should we give you something to stop that pleasure with Allah, right? Okay? Before we amputate your leg, right? Okay? No. What he said was he wants to be truly with the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the time when you amputate his leg. So he thought, what is that time? And when in salah is the closest time? Sujood. So he said, when I'm in salah and you see me getting into salah, and as soon as I make sujood, go ahead and cut my leg off. Okay? See that? That is the recognizing Allah's attributes. That is having a fitrah that is close to Allah. That is truly living in the pleasure of Allah and with the pleasure of Allah. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put us on where do we fit in the attribute of Allah, this attribute of Allah. When we Allah created us in different with different abilities. Okay. انظر كيف فضلنا بعضهم على بعضهم على بعض. Okay. انظر كيف فضلنا بعضهم على بعض. Look how we preferred some over others. Okay. So we will never achieve greatness, but we have part of that attribute. And this attribute that is good with us cannot be within us without practicing it. Meaning that to show that attribute from the attribute of Allah that He gave us in this name, we have to practice helping others. Okay? Allah give you some knowledge and you are having some great qualities, but if it is dormant in you and no one is benefiting from it, then you do not reflect that attributes around you. You do not have that light of attribute around you. Nobody is affected by it, so it does not exist with you. Even though you do have achieved by the will of Allah some greatness in some attributes, path or another, or quality or another. So it has to be given to others. Part of the radiation of this attribute, if you will, within us, has to be through taking care of others and teaching others and letting this greatness in one way or another in our lives that Allah has given us be reflected in our actions with others. There is a faqih, okay? You go to him for fiqh. But there is someone who has hikmah, and you can get wisdom from him. But the one that has fiqh and has hikmah, he has a lot. He who gets the hikmah from Allah has given plenty and abundance of goodness. خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا, goodness that is great. Okay. So a person who has fiqh and he has hikmah and this khayr, a lot of goodness, is just in him and that's it, he carries it, this is not a person that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with. Okay? But when this come out, when the answers to matters that are fiqh matters will come out, when there is a guidance to a path that people are confused in through hikmah that Allah has given him comes out, this is practicing and showing the attributes of Allah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرِ. By time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears, or by the prayer of Asr, that mankind indeed in a state of loss. Okay? But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us exception. And the exception is all through practice. It is not through acquiring something and keeping it to yourself. Okay? If you do that, you're in a state of khusr. state of loss. But once you know what Allah is telling us to do so we will not be in this state of loss, okay, you know it has something to do with action. It has something to do with action back and forth. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ Except those who believe and do the good deeds, do الصالحات. So believe is a feeling, but then it has to be translated to action. And the salihat is things, salihat, that you can recognize that with your logic, with your the logic mind that Allah has given us, or with the fiqh that we understand. Because you know what harm is, and you know what benefit is, to a certain degree. But now, knowing, having fiqh, you know what really beyond what the logic tell you what benefit is, because you are told what really benefit beyond the benefit that you can get with your own logic, okay? And you know now that you have fiqh, you know what harm is, okay? More than the harm that you could recognize with your fitra alone. It's the knowledge that you are given from the Quran and Sunnah. That is amalu salihat. And then tawasaw bilhaqq wa tawasaw bilsabr. Tawasi is, it's back and forth. When you hear that word in tafa'ul, okay, tawasaw, okay, there is something that you give and you receive all the time with al-haq, okay, and with al-sabr, the absolute truth and patience, okay, that you are given it and you are taking it, okay, that is goodness, that is the attributes of Allah is magnified with us and through us. And reflecting back and forth with each other. Sometimes I need this from you, and sometimes you need it from me. A reminder, not necessarily something now. See, amanu amalu salihat has to do with teaching and learning and so forth. But tawasaw is to remind each other with something that we know already. Something that it is in the back of our mind, and I need to tell you something to bring it forward in your mind. Like the example we give all the time, example of Maryam alayhi salam and Zakariya alayhi salam. Didn't Zakariya alayhi salam know that Allah accepts the dua, answers the dua? Doesn't he know that he is the Prophet of Allah? He knew that when he has revelation and he gets wahy and so forth. Yes. So why did he wait until Maryam alayhi salam said, "Inna Allah yarzuqu man yasha'u bighayri hisab." Indeed, Allah gives whoever He wishes without the means. Allah says, "Hunalika da'a Zakariya Rabbah." That's when Zakariya said, "Oh, let me go and make du'a now." Didn't he know this? Yes, he did. But this is tawasul. This is reminding one another, okay? And we absolutely need this. If we stay away from that, we are in a state of loss. We are definitely in a state of loss. Okay? So here it is, the reminders with the attributes of Allah that we carry with us. The attributes of Allah is who we are. The attributes of Allah is who we are. Okay? Allah created us. So therefore, Allah give us from what He has. And Allah has the best of attributes, that His names and attributes, Allah created us from it. Okay? So what we carry from the attributes of Allah, we need to use with one another in helping one another. And Allah will prefer some of us over others with certain things. So therefore, we need each other because of the deficiencies that we need, that we have. So we need others to complement us. And because of the what we have more than others, and complement them and give them what they need from us. It's a beautiful life. A beautiful life. Okay? And it's a complementary life. Okay? And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the companions and they love Allah. Right? يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَ He loves them and they love Him. That is That is an attribute Allah gives and a comment Allah gives about the companions. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how this beautiful life was an example, okay? Beautiful way of life was a real living example in this earth through the life of the companions, through Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam among them. All this was that. Why do we go to the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Why do we go to the companions and listen to their seerah? Because we find this in the relationship. We find this goodness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created man with is magnified in their personalities and how they dealt with one another. So we have a live example. And the biggest of all prize, if you will, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Jannah, okay, give us his ridwan, okay? Ridwanun min Allah, okay? The ridwan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us, okay? This is the greatest and akbarul al-fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us. The greatest gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us. هل أدلكم على خير من ذلكم؟ Right? What was the end? تجري من تحتها. ورضوان من. نعم. ذلك الفوز الكبير. ذلك الفوز الكبير. That is the great fawz. Okay. So all of describing of Jannah is something. But وَرِضْوَانُ مِنَ اللَّهِ ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْكَبِيرُ. That ridwan from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is the fawz that is great. This is the one that we all looking forward to. And again, we repeat what we always say and we always discuss with each other. That when we go to Jannah, we recognize these attributes in a magnification that is so much, and that is the true pleasure, right? That's why the best place in Jannah is to be able to be with Allah and see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because this attribute is with Allah, and it is the way that right now we cannot imagine, I cannot quite comprehend. So being into these attributes, within these attributes, and with being able to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is the ultimate pleasure. Okay? Because now think, you're going to be able to see the most merciful. Okay? So here is the mercy, okay, that we're trying now to try to talk about, right? Try to, you say it's impossible to imagine. Impossible, and we're trying to, we cannot quite get it, but we know it is so much. Then we will be able to see Allah the most merciful. Okay? Don't we admire those who are generous? Okay? And you want to be among and with the one who is generous? Now in Jannah, you'll be able to see Allah is the most generous, Al-Kareem. Okay? Subhanallah. What is more than that? Okay? In this life, we tend to gravitate to these qualities, right? To those who carry these qualities. And we're comfortable when we are with them, right? And they have, you know, just a degree, what? You cannot even compare that degree with the generosity of Allah and the mercy of Allah. So when you are invited in Jannah to come, Allah will send you a letter. From the one who's alive and never dies to the one who's alive and never dies. My servant, I yearn to see you. Would you like to come and see me? Allah saying, I want to meet you in person. Would you like to come and meet me? Okay? Now you go in there and eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will appear to us and see Allah. Now, that is the ultimate reward. That is the ultimate reward. Okay? And again, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees us at that moment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell us, I'll give you more. And again, that word is Ridwan. That I'll be pleased with you, I'll never be angry with you. This is Ridwan min Allah Akbar. وَذَٰلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. And that is the great reward. Again, when we think about the attributes of Allah, and we see this potential, we can recognize the potential, but we could not see the ultimate realization of this potential in this life. Okay? But we know that it is so magnificent. So our life has to be around that. Our life has to be around focusing in these attributes of Allah, because our hereafter is going to be a magnification of the same thing, but in a way that we could never imagine. But again, the path to that, let us not go get out of hand here, right? The path to that is designed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us. Okay? And the understanding is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I was talking earlier today with someone who seen something and he was wanted to reflect it with me, and we talked about it. About a brother who came to Islam who was blind. Okay? And he was describing how his mother was treating him as a young man or a young boy, a baby. Everybody was so merciful with him because he's blind, born blind. And his mother was so merciful with him that she let him go. You understand? Meaning she treated him normally. And when the children doing something and some people say, okay, let me help you with this and that, the mother says, no, go and play with them. Okay? So he had to figure something out. He had to act normal or take the idea that he's blind as something that he's living with. This is who he is. And that was the biggest gift that his mother gave him. Okay? And when he went to high school, and he wanted to be in the wrestling team. Okay? And he said he goes to the coach. And the coach told him, no, I think you're too small, Right? He doesn't want to tell him anything else, right? So he said the following year, he goes to him, saying, now maybe you're not quite ready yet, and so forth. Finally, the coach gave up, said, okay, he wants to what? To teach him, okay, here, okay, go wrestle. Okay? And of course, he wrestled and he was beaten so bad and so forth. But the coach saw something in him, and saw his feistiness and so forth. So he gave him tips, and he took the championship. Okay? Okay? Why I'm saying all of that? He was always inquisitive about, beyond this life, and he had something special. Okay? And he's always tried to find ways to do things. Ways to do things. Okay, so he was focused on path, right? Okay, there is something needs to be done. Okay, a book, teach me Braille. I'll learn. Now I know what the book has. There is his gear to that. So he learned computer. Okay, how to use a computer, to the point that he was teaching those who can see. Okay, and they invited him somewhere, and to teach group of people, and then he was there, and then a woman was talking, and he said, what's your name? She said a name. He said, this is a strange name. Is it Arabic? She said, yes. Are you Muslim? She said, yes. I said, okay. And okay, I heard about Islam. I heard this and that. Could you tell me about Islam? So she gave him a book. He read the book and came the following day. He said, how do you become a Muslim? Okay, why? He said, because I always wanted the path to Allah, to God, to the Creator, and this is very clear. Islam becomes very clear how to get close. Here is the Creator tell us, this is the way to go to Him. So this is the way. I was looking for the way and here is the way. Imagine how straightforward this is, right? So he wanted to learn about the Quran and people learn about him. So from a Muslim country, they send him a Quran in Braille. So he was excited and get the Quran open up, put, and he cannot read it. Because it is it's a Braille that he was not taught, right? So he said he did not know how to read it. So a brother told him, well, it's easy. He said, how? He said, okay, let's open the beginning, Surah Al-Fatiha, and I'm going to read, give you letters, and you feel them. And through feeling the letters, you know the alphabet. Okay? And he learned it that way. And now he can put his hand and read the Quran. Sound the letters that his finger feels that he heard from the brother. Okay? Point being is, in all of this, this is the fitrah is working. Okay? The fitrah is working, and the abilities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in us and the purities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in us was magnified in this brother, in this person, in this creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is where we should be always focusing. How to be clean. Okay, clean. Okay. Clean physically, and clean spiritually, and clean our heart. Okay? This is how Allah's attributes is going to bounce off our heart everywhere. And we're going to recognize it. Okay? And this is how we're going to work with one another, loving one another for the sake of Allah, and having this attributes of Allah magnified with us, with our relationship with one another. This is the life of the Sahaba. Okay? But it has to be through this specific path that Rasulullah designed for, or showed us by the design of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Has to be through this, not through in any other path. Okay? And the more within we are focused in it and taking it and doing more of the afra'id that Allah has given us, the more this life is going to be more of a pleasure in this life and in the hereafter. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Inshallah, the microphone and the floor is yours, as we are, as our practice always, inshallah. Tough subject? No. No. Okay. Who has the microphone?
I have it.
Of course.
Alhamdulillah.
May Allah make this a sunnah jariyah that you do all the time. Yes.
Yeah, I said tough subject because... like you started, that if you could imagine, we know all of this, that the heavens, the earth, the time, that's very important, you know. It's all creation of Allah. Yeah. The throne of Allah is a creation. Mm-hmm. So when you try to imagine how Allah is great, or the greatness of Allah beyond the physical things we know, we mm-hmm. just born with it, we don't know anything else, you know, except mm-hmm. heavens, earth, you know. Yeah. That's what we see, what we hear, what mm-hmm. we feel. So when you try to imagine something, there is nothing like it. Mm-hmm. He is greater, not in size,
yeah.
greater than his creation, because yeah. this is all creation. Mm-hmm. That's not easy. But like Ibn al-Qayyim in the book I am reading now, mm-hmm. he said that Allahu nuru samawati wal ard, that Allah is the light of the heavens and the earth, the light. Mm-hmm. It's just as simple as that's I'm quoting Ibn al-Qayyim, mm-hmm. that it's the heart to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mm-hmm. You have to really shine your heart. Mm-hmm. You have to imagine it's an instrument or it's a glass, and the glass is fuzzy, mm-hmm. have a lot of dust, you know, paint, stuff like that. You have to really clean it, mm-hmm. clean it to the point that all the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come. It's become so clear to go through. Mm. So the mercy of Allah, you recognize it, then the greatness of Allah. I mean, that's what Ibn al-Qayyim said, you know, how to reflect on the Quran. You have to clean your heart first. Mm. Because And that's eventually conclusion what you said, that when we meet Allah, we will not meet Him unless the heart is sound. وَمَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. It has to be complete heart, nothing in it, no discrimination, nothing. It has to be complete. Otherwise, it will not see Allah. It will not be able to see the greatness of Allah. And this is not an easy task, but may Allah help us in doing that.
Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us what we strive for.
Right. And he give us the way. He give us the path.
Yeah.
How to do it with a lot of nawafil, a lot
and
of...
And if we sincere, Allah will take us
right. And it's so hard to take yourself out of the physical need of this dunya. To just cleanse your heart, don't have envy. Like the brother in the Jum'ah said, I mean, don't do this, 1, 2, 3, 4. He count them like 7 things, you don't have to do them. And that's the way to clean the heart. And then it's become easier to recognize the attributes of Allah. Allah.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. You beautifully described the fitrah and the peace of the mind. And I was just reflecting that in the science nowadays, they say that when there are chemicals in the brain, they call endorphins. And when player state, it goes high. And when depressed, there are other chemicals. And they have studied done when people were have belief. Some of them found out that they are, even when they are sick, in the terminally sick also, they have more, their vital signs are better, and and they're more calm in their, even at the time of death. Maybe that was the fitrah there was.
Yes.
And nowadays there are medication like antidepressants, which increases the level of those the chemicals that are more pleasurable. But there are a lot of side effects with them also.
It takes one away from Allah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. It becomes an obstacle. You are manufacturing a pleasure. Okay? Yeah, manufacturing. So when the effect of the drug is gone, then you need something to keep it up. But if it is from your relationship with Allah, nothing, you know, will take that away. Keep increasing.
There's a perfect balance in that. Mankind, I mean, you can create that, but you can't create the balance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates.
Yes.
That's too much or too little or years off.
تفضل
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله
like brother Louis said
is this
tough.
Brother Ahmed
نعم
We miss you, Brother Ahmed. We missed you
so
much.
I missed you too.
Yes.
A couple of weeks, I know.
Yes.
I missed everybody.
Yes.
Actually.
Every time I cannot say I've been looking for you, but I've been listening for you for so long, and I cannot listen, cannot hear your laugh, cannot hear your voice, and cannot hear you the sound that you make when you angry at somebody, you know.
I'm sorry for that.
I missed all of that.
Well, I'm going to be here now.
Alhamdulillah.
You will keep
See, it. That laugh, you cannot find it anywhere.
I was saying, like Brother Louis already said, it's a tough subject, but at the same time, it's very comprehensive as well. I was thinking about, like you explained, that living in Jannah, closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidat Asiya, the wife of Fir'aun, in her dua, she asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make her house near his house.
Build me a house in Jannah.
Build me a house in Jannah near you. So, I don't understand that Rabbuna subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's... هو جالس على كرسي في الجنة. So that will be, that kursi will be eliminated after the day of judgment. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's residence will be...
See, when you start thinking that way, you're going to ask the question of how. Okay? And when it comes to the attributes of Allah, you could never ask that question. Because once you start saying how, I have to give you something that you're familiar with. And I cannot talk, or no one can talk about Allah in a form of how, in the way that they are familiar with, because there is nothing like Allah. So we cannot say how.
No, what I mean is somebody who was not Muslim who asked me this question, that where his residence will be then.
See, the word residence means that Allah is contained, has a place. And this is unacceptable, because Allah's creation could never contain Allah. Allah's creation could never contain Allah. That's why, because we do not see Allah, we say Subhanallah. You see? We say that is so great. You are completely opposite of a kafir who wants to see, wants to hear. We say no. If we see, if we hear, that is not Allah. And Allah is great because we cannot see Him and cannot hear Him. Okay? So, once we say, where is Allah? We only can say, where is Allah with His... For Allah is everywhere with His attributes. But Allah as a being, we could never understand. Because you say where Allah is in a... we use the word residence, that means it's a place and space. Okay, Allah was always there before there was there. Before the place and time He created, He was there. Okay? So how do you explain that?
Actually, first time in my life I understood today. Yeah. I admit this honestly. I have another brother who has...
I can ask what attribute... did we go over today? I was upstairs. upstairs.
We are recording this.
I have a good excuse.
No, it's okay. We are recording this, inshallah, and we can give you the recording. Al Kabir. The Arsh is. Yes. But how does Allah istawa ala al Arsh? We don't know. Nah. MashaAllah. Did you hear that word of wisdom?
But let me tell you the meaning of istawa according to Albani, which is answering all the people who ask these questions. It's ista'la. Istawa means ista'la. Ista'la means he's above it. So you cannot say he's sitting or whatever description is wrong. So Allah is above His arsh, above the creation. He's above it, a'la, ista'la. So it's not He's not on a place.
Yes.
It's not like a chair, like the king, and he's sitting on it. No. He's above all the creation.
See, Sheikh Habib said the word that Imam Malik said when that question was asked. Says al istiwa'u, to sit, is known. How to sit is unknown.
But no, he did not say sit. He said istiwa.
Well, istiwa is sitting.
No, istiwa. Okay.
You understand? It's to understand on the throne. Okay. To be on a throne is not unknown, but how to be when it comes to Allah is not known. How it is not known, and believing in it as it is, without understanding the how, is a must. And to ask about is a bid'ah. Okay? To ask about is a bid'ah. Because Allah said, laysa kamithli. See, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says He created man, and وَجَعَلْنَهُ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا, we made man able to hear, able to see. And Allah says, هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. But laysa kamithlihi shay. There is nothing like Him, but He is also was sami' al-basir. He could see and He could hear. But of course, mankind as he hear and see is different than Allah has seen and in hearing. Okay? So if Allah says, I hear, that doesn't mean that Allah has an ear. But when it comes to us to say mankind hear, that means you have an ear. You understand? So we cannot make Allah look like someone or something because there is nothing like him. So always remember the word when you say how, it does not fit in this. You cannot ask how with Allah. The microphone, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam wa
barakatuh. I was trying to get some difference between kursi and arsh. How would you describe that?
Well, some scholars says the kursi is the footstool and the arsh is the throne. Okay? And some says arsh and kursi is the same. And kursi itself, the word kursi, what is the word, does the word kurasa in Urdu, does it have any meaning?
Not to be known.
Okay. In Arabic, what kursi is a chair. But you know what kurasa is? What is a kurasa? Like something what? You write in it. It's something that couldn't... Huh? Pad, yes. Yeah, it is something that you contain something in it. Right? You want information, so what do? You put it in the kurasa, meaning you write it in there and you fold it, you close it, so it contains what you have, okay? What you put in it. So the kursi has the same meaning, which is Allah's creation is in it. It's holding all the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wasi'a kursiyuhu as-samawati wal ard. Yes, that kursi is big for the heavens and the earth in it. Okay? Yes. Allah is on his throne. So the kursi is the heavens and the earth in it, and the throne is above it, and then Allah is above his throne, above his creation. Nothing can contain Allah. Huh? Correct. And that is complement what we are saying now, which is the first heaven is like a ring in the desert to the second is a ring in the desert to the third, and on and on. And also seven heaven and earth, all of them in the kursi as a ring in the desert. Yes. So they are in the kursi, and the kursi is containing it.
Assalamu alaikum, I have a question.
It is nice to hear your voice in a day different than Yawm al-Ahad in the morning.
I'm going back to your initial conversation, mm-hmm. about when you said that Allah, you know, will call or invite people to meet him in Jannah. Uh-huh. So, and then, right now you said that if we ask how, mm-hmm. you know, that will be a bidah. So my question is that, obviously, I just believe that Allah will invite his people, mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. pious people, to meet him. But mm-hmm. my question is that, does it mean that there may be some people in Jannah who may not be invited to meet Allah?
No. Everybody will be invited to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Okay. One more question is that,
and you can ask how are we will be able to see Allah and how? Okay, because now the how is asked in the day in Jannah, then it is fitting there. Okay, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam answered that question by saying, "Look at the skies, look at the sun, or look at the moon. Does anything prevent you from seeing it? Like, you know, you've seen it with your eyes." And they said, "No, Ya Rasulullah." Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "This is how you're going to see Allah."
One more question about. I mean, so what my understanding is that on the day of judgment or Yom HaShur, when Allah will be deciding the fate of the people who is going to Jannah or to Jahannam, does it mean that people will not be able to see Allah at that time?
Okay. وَلَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَيْهِمْ Allah will not talk to them. Allah will not look at them. And that is a kind of punishment. That is a kind of punishment. But those who are righteous will be able to see Allah. Okay? They will be able to see something to indicate that this is Allah. Okay? يَوْمَ يُكْشَفُ عَنْ سَاقٍ وَيُدْعَوْنَ إِلَى السُّجُودِ فَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ When a shin will be shown, okay? And don't tell me what look like all of it, because of course, okay? But if everybody will know that here is Allah, okay? So they will try to make sujood and they will not be able to. But the one who, believers will be able to make the sujood. Yes, and everybody will follow their Lord or those that they worship. So we will recognize Allah. Okay, so something will indicate to us that this is Allah, but we'll truly see Allah. وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاظِرَةٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ Allah saying, نعم, وُجُوهٌ faces that day bright and happy, looking as their Lord. Okay. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك جزاكم الله خيرا